Hey everybody, I'm out hiking again today, and I thought I'd stop and talk a little bit about Mystery Babylon and the Goddess of Liberty. You know, I've been studying this topic intensively over the last couple months, trying to figure out the meaning and the identity of Babylon the Great. And it's like everything else in the Bible, every other truth, it's something that is so simple, yet our own biases, our own opinions, oftentimes tend to cloud over those truths. And if you've been following our series in this topic of Mystery Babylon, you'll have discovered that nearly every point that we cover points to New York City as Babylon the Great. And, you know, it's astounding that there's even a city in New York, right next to New York City there, right on, I think, Long Island, that's called Babylon. So if you're actually, you know, taking a boat in or a barge from the sea, you could see that sign that says, "Welcome to Babylon, New York." And but today I want to talk about something that's so obvious, and that is the Statue of Liberty. You know, you might be thinking, what are you talking about? What's so obvious about the Statue of Liberty? Well, it is a symbol of Babylon the Great. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, this the Statue of Liberty is a symbol of freedom, democracy, and patriotism, and things like that. But hear me out on this. There are some very important things that we need to take a look at. You know, and I've always sort of raised questions about the Statue of Liberty. At times, I kind of bounced back and forth. I thought, well, is it an idol, or is it just a symbol of liberty, an ideal, or something like that? But I always had a problem because of the second commandment that says, "Thou shalt make no idols." And I'm going to read that from Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. God says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." So that command seems pretty simple. God doesn't want us making carved images of people, of animals, and so forth. Why would he do that? Because the pagans, they would do that. They would make a god out of, you know, an idea even. Let's say Liberty, for example. You know, and personify her and make her into an idol and have that impress into the minds of men rather than where liberty comes from. Because liberty comes only through obedience to God and belief in his son, Jesus Christ. We'll talk a little bit about that, but he says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." So I know you might be thinking, well, we don't bow down to... Nobody bows down to the Statue of Liberty. So that really doesn't fit. It's not an idol. We don't see people coming from far and wide to come down and bow down. But that's not the essence of idolatry. You know, when you take, for example, when we seek liberty first without the blessings of God, When we seek democracy rather than the kingdom of God, that's idolatry. You know, and we have so many people today, whether it's on the left or the right, the left wants liberty to do whatever they want to do. "Do what thou wilt" was the satanic command. That's the whole of the law, to do whatever you want. Then there is those of us on the right. I don't really consider myself part of that, but many people on the right, they don't seek the principles of the kingdom in some aspects, in many aspects. Rather, their ideal is, let's build democracies, let's just have freedom, and everything will work out. And it doesn't work that way. That therefore, liberty becomes an idol. I mean, we have liberty movements that demand liberty without obedience to God, and on the list goes. You know, I'm going to turn over to Well, first I want to say something. The Statue of Liberty is one of the largest idols or images, statues, that's ever been made. There are other ones that are larger, but inside, now listen to me, inside the Statue of Liberty is a poem titled The New Colossus. And it was written by a Russian Jewish immigrant woman. And in that, I mean, so let me go back to that. The New Colossus. That makes you ask yourself the question, what was the old Colossus? Well, there was a statue in Greece, ancient pagan Greece, called the Colossus of Rhodes. And it was an identical counterpart to what we see today outside of New York, the Statue of Liberty. Except it was a male figure that looked almost identical, had the same seven horns coming out of his head, the seven beams of light or whatever that was supposed to be, and so on. And it was supposed to be it's known, it's a god. And it was an image of the sun god. But when you look into it, I want you guys to Google this and search this. Search the goddess of liberty and search the word libertas. And you'll find that it all goes back to the worship of liberty, obviously. But it all goes back to different gods, whether it was all the way back to Babylon, the goddess Ishtar, who is known as the mother of harlots, the goddess Astarte, and the goddess of Isis, all the same mother goddess, just each culture, each pagan culture, gave her a new name and a little bit of a new look. But the same god. The same god. And, you know, if you look at, in ancient artifacts, the symbol of Isis was actually identical to our dollar sign today. Think about that. It was a cipher. Actually, for Isis, it was a cipher. It was on two bars. There was two bars and then an S, just like our dollar sign. And it's a cipher that causes you to repeat the S twice. I-S, I-S, because the S is entangled around those two bars. And I could go more into that about the two pillars and the serpent and all that. But that's her symbol, and that's what New York has become. It's become the financial capital of the world. And I'm not going to go into all that today because we're doing that in our in-depth studies on this. We've been doing that on our in-depth studies in this chapter. This is going to just be a really short, quick lesson here. But I'm going to turn over to Isaiah 60, 61. Because going back to the point that if we want liberty, it comes through obedience to God's word. Otherwise, I don't care if you're what it is. It becomes an idol. So though people aren't bowing down, I'll say this again, though people aren't bowing down to the Statue of Liberty to worship her, they are worshiping liberty. Whether they want to just have freedom without God in some liberty movement, some Tea Party movement, many good people in the Tea Party movement, but many people just seeking liberty without God, or whether you're a liberal that wants to abort your babies or just have any kind of sexual freedom that you want, and so forth. Two different shades of the same color. Both are worshiping the same God. But anyways, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So that was Jesus's primary mission, was to bring liberty to the captives. That's not the job of the Statue of Liberty, and there is no connection between the Statue of Liberty and Christianity, or the Statue of Liberty and Jesus Christ. You know, I often thought that, you know, maybe that Statue of Liberty represented the Israelites, because the woman in Revelation chapter 12, the mother, the sign of the great woman. But when you look into the history of it and why it was made, it was even admitted by the sculptures that made it, that it was the goddess, they referred to her as the goddess Libertas. And it was adopted by the Roman, Babylonian, it was a later adoption of going all the way back to the goddess Ishtar. In other words, it was Ishtar remade, you know, wearing a Roman toga or whatever she's wearing there, a Roman robe, and so forth. And the Roman historian Cicero referred to Ishtar, Libertas, I'm sorry, as the mother, now check this out, as the mother of harlots. I mean, this is just startling. And a lot of people will listen to this and they won't accept it. You have to do your own research. And hey, I didn't accept it at first either. For years, I bounced this idea back and forth. But then when I really, you know, put in the elbow grease and looked into it and looked at the obvious, it became so surreal. So startling. You know, I've been to that city before. Some of you might live there. You're living in Mystery Babylon. I have no doubt in my mind you're living in Mystery Babylon the Great. And in going back to Libertas again here, in 1793 during the French Revolution, the Notre Dame de Paris Cathedral was turned into the Cult of Reason. And Lady Liberty replaced the Virgin Mary, on several of the altars. Think about that. And who gave us the Statue of Liberty? A French Freemason. And now you wonder where this all came from. If you look up the French Revolution was a total godless revolution. What made America different is that there were Christians here in America. Many of them, most of them were Christians. But there was always that pagan, occultic, small remnant that worked its way into high places of influence and power. So, you know, I guess basically, I mean, what do we want to do? Do we want to worship liberty by seeking it and without God? I mean, that's the definition of Babylon. That is the definition of Babylon, is happiness, a utopia without God. So please do some research on Libertas, the goddess of liberty, and Ishtar, and Isis, and you'll see that it's all connected. And then it points to New York City as the fulfillment of Babylon the Great. Hey, I hope you enjoyed that. I'm going to get back hiking. It's not as nice as it's been the last several times I've been out hiking. It's a little cloudy and some mosquitoes are out here, but hey, I'm going to enjoy it. It's always beautiful to be in God's nature. So, I mean, just remember this. Always go by the Word of God and stand up in these last days so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.